Christ. Amen? It's kind of, we got kind of everything going today, all right? We have Memorial Day. We also have Christmas, all right? Because this is the way the text fell, all right? So, happy Memorial Day and Merry Christmas, all right? Let's take a look at the text. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Matthew Henry says, "These shepherds do not speak doubtfully, 'Let us go see whether it be so or no,' but with assurance, 'Let us go see this thing which has come to pass.' For what room was left to doubt of it when the Lord had thus made it known to them? The word spoken by angels was steadfast and unquestionably true. They immediately made the visit." And if you look at the text, excuse me a second, okay? I have new hearing aids, all right? So you can't be talking about me anymore, Ryan, all right? You can't be talking about me, all right? Anyway, and these are adjustable, I can adjust them, pretty cool. If you look at the text, it says, "Let's go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." It was through an angel, but it was a message from the Lord, okay? Do we believe God when he speaks to us? Or do we question him and resist him? Now, God speaks to us through his word, right? Do we pick and choose what we're going to believe and what we're going to obey? I believe the trouble with Christians is we have too many Christians picking and choosing in God's word. And the result is immorality, alcohol and drug abuse, sexual immorality, both heterosexual and homosexual, pornography, abortion, unethical practices in business, lying, cheating, gossiping, and the list goes on. It's the world we see, right? But are we picking and choosing, us personally, all right? Because it's all the Word of God, so we should obey all of it. I like this picture because it has the angels up here, and the shepherds are kind of blown away by it, all right? Now the shepherds sound excited and they are joyful and hopeful because Messiah, the Savior, is born. They race off to Bethlehem, guided by the Holy Spirit, and they find the baby Jesus. Now in contrast, remember the so-called wise men? They had to stop and ask Herod for directions, right? And what happened because of that? The slaughter of the innocents, right? Matthew Henry writes, "We have reason to think that the shepherds told Joseph and Mary of the vision of the angels they had seen and the song of the angels they had heard, which was a great encouragement to them, more than if a visit had been made them by the best ladies in the town. And it is probable that Joseph and Mary told the shepherds what visions they had concerning the child. And so by communicating their experiences to each other, they greatly strengthened one another's faith." Can you imagine the encouragement that Mary and Joseph felt when the shepherds arrived and shared their vision? Especially Mary, right? Because she was an unwed mother, and you can imagine the gossip and finger pointing that she had to endure regarding her pregnancy. And this also points to the historicity, which means the accurate history, of the Gospel of Luke. Because a Jewish woman wouldn't want to talk about that, right? And where did Luke get this story from? From Mary. Because a Jewish woman, if she was pregnant out of wedlock, could be stoned, all right? But Mary has no problem sharing it because it's what happened. First of all, it's true. And to point to the fact that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Now the shepherds talk with Mary and Joseph and hear of this his miraculous birth. Have you ever received an affirmation at just the right time from another Christian? A Christian come up to you right when you're going through a hard time and they say something or do something that helps you out, okay? I remember 20 years ago when I came here, the Lord gave, Daryl Olson came also, but Bud Eskret, Pastor Bud Eskret, was a true godsend to me. And he was my mentor as far as interim ministry. And he always had words of encouragement, because it was not an easy time when I first got here. But the Lord sends people that'll perk you up at just the right time. Amen? So the shepherds leave. Can they remain quiet? No. They tell everyone. And new believers do the same thing. I don't understand how that wears off. Don't grow weary in witnessing. We have great joy to share. And I'm going to share a couple things. Number one is about Wednesday nights here. It's almost like testimony night every Wednesday, okay? It's amazing what people share. There's 20 or 30 of us around tables studying God's Word. And we encourage one another and love one another. And it's a safe place. So people don't mind sharing, you know. And some of the stuff that they share, it blows me away. But when you've experienced Jesus, that's what happens. You want to tell what Jesus has done for you and what he continues to do for you. The other thing I want to say is, as far as the excitement, I remember my sister was here at the other service. You missed her, okay? You didn't, but she's a trip, I'll just say that. But I remember 37 years ago when I came to faith in Christ, when I was born again, the first thing I did is I went out and got cassette tapes of the whole Bible to give to my family, okay? I gave them to my parents and to my brothers and sisters. And they all took them. I don't think any of them listened to him, except my brother Dennis might have, and he was born again. But then Bonnie, I found out she still has them, okay? But I remember she was going through a tough time, and she took the cassette tapes out and started listening to them in her car because she was an outside salesman. And that was the beginning of her journey to accept Jesus Christ, okay? So even when we're doing stuff that seems crazy, and believe me, my whole family thought I was crazy, okay? But the Lord will use that stuff, okay? Because it's in his hands, it's not in ours, amen? Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Matthew Henry says, the care which the shepherds took to spread the report of this when they had seen it, though they saw nothing in the child that should induce them to believe that he was Christ the Lord, yet the circumstances, how mean soever they were, agreeing with the sign that the angel had given them, they were abundantly satisfied. So they made known abroad the whole story of what was told them, both by the angels and by Joseph and Mary, concerning this child, that he was the Savior, even Christ the Lord, that in him there is peace on earth, and that he was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost and born of a virgin. This they told everybody and agreed in their testimony concerning him. So the shepherds share the angel's words, but also Mary and Joseph's, whatever they told them, okay? Imagining the excitement they all shared. God in the flesh. This is God, it's not just a baby, this is God in the flesh, the Messiah, who's come to earth to die for our sins, okay? Have you ever been so excited about the good news and had to call or text a friend? I know you have. It may not have been about Jesus. Do you know how many texts I get when the Cardinals or the 49ers beat the Rams? You know.
It used to be all the time.
Yeah. Well, I've kind of taken a knee, but anyway, we get excited about our teams, right? We should have the same excitement about Jesus Christ, because he has the real victory, right? And he has a victory for everybody. It doesn't matter what team you're on. If you're on Jesus' team, you're going to win, all right? In Jesus, we are victorious over sin, death, and the devil. Spurgeon says, good news is not to be kept to ourselves. When we have ascertained it's true, we are to tell it to others, and we are especially to tell the good news, goodness of salvation. Tell it, O you who know it in your own hearts by blessed experience. Tell it, though it will sometimes be with broken accents in the feebleness of your flesh. Yet even then, tell it in the ardor of your heart's affection, and God will bless your testimony, and others will learn the good news through you. I like the old woodcuts like this. They're obviously excited, and you can see they just left Mary and Joseph back here. And these are probably homeless people they're talking to. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary thought about these events again and again. Luke's source for these early years seems to have been Mary. He possibly visited her while Paul was in prison at Caesarea for 2 years. So the accurate history comes from eyewitnesses, and Mary was there, okay? And she told Luke. Friends, we need to think about the birth of Christ again and again. We need to ponder it like Mary did. When we do, we realize that God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son into flesh and blood to die on a cross so we can live forever with and in him. People of God, rejoice. Emmanuel is here. God is here. Not only is he here, he's in us also, okay? God is inside of us, all right? It doesn't get any better than that, right? It's even better than the 49ers winning, right? Okay. Matthew Henry says, the truths of Christ are worth keeping, and the way to keep them safe is to ponder them. Meditation is the best help to memory. Gordon MacDonald was talking to a Nigerian woman who was a doctor in a hospital. And she was the lead doctor, but he introduced himself, and she gave him her name, and then he asked what her African name was, her Nigerian name, and she gave him that, and he couldn't say it, but he said, well, what does that name mean in English? What does your name mean, your African name? And she says, it means child who takes the anger away. Child who takes the anger away. He said, well, why did your parents give you that name? And she said, my parents were forbidden to marry each other, but they loved each other so much they defied the family and they got married anyway. For several years they were ostracized by the family. The family wanted nothing to do with them, but then they had their daughter. And when the grandparents held their daughter, they were reconciled. And that's when their parents named her, and they called her child who takes the anger away, because she took the anger away. Meditate on this. Jesus is the one who takes the anger away. He's the one who takes the anger away. And you can see he did that on the cross. He came in as a baby, but he did it on the cross. He takes our anger away. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. So are we angry with someone or something today? Or maybe we're just inflicted with anger. There's a lot of angry people walking around, right? Jesus takes the anger away. Just turn to Jesus, and he takes the anger away. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. There was a grandmother who was playing the piano, and she was playing away in the manger, and she had her granddaughter sitting next to her. And she's playing away in the manger, and she's thinking, you know, it might be nice if I sang this to her. So she started singing to the child. And after a little bit, the little girl nudged her arm, and she said, just let the piano sing it, Grandma. That's what they would say with me, okay? But I want to state this about singing in church. Sing loud. Make a joyful noise. We don't care here. The pastors want to hear you sing loudly, okay? We don't care what other people think. Who are we singing to? We're singing to Jesus, right? And some, his ears are going to hear something beautiful, right? Okay? Remember, you're singing to Jesus. Sing out loudly, all right? But the shepherds were excited, and they wanted to sing and proclaim the good news. Christ is born. Eureka! Now, we shout Eureka when we discover something. Usually, we think of a gold strike, but it started in ancient Greece. Archimedes, the famous mathematician and inventor, was trying to determine the purity of gold. And he was in a bathhouse one day, and he realized that the buoyancy of an object placed in water is equal in magnitude to the weight of the water the object displaces. So when the water comes out, you can find out how much it weighs, okay? Now, when he discovered this, he was in the public bathhouse. The legend says he got up, and he was so excited, he was screaming Eureka, and he ran down the street naked screaming Eureka, okay? There he is, all right? This is the type of excitement we should have with Jesus. But I'm not saying run down the street. All right. I'm talking to you, okay? Don't run down the street naked, all right? But church, get excited, right? Eureka. Yeah. All right, we found Christ, or more appropriately, he has found us, right? That's something to be excited about, okay? And I have a picture. I love these kind of pictures, but there's Christ. He's found us, okay, and saved us, amen? So Eureka. Everybody say Eureka. Eureka. All right, cool. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Yudley writes, the eighth day was the Jewish time for circumcision. It was considered so important that it was even performed on the Sabbath. All of the people in the Mediterranean area were circumcised except the Philistines, and we talked about them on Wednesday at our Bible study. The Romans performed this rite on the ninth day, the Greeks on the seventh or tenth day, and the Arabs on the 13th birthday. For the Jews, it was a sign of Yahweh's covenant with Abraham. Jesus was born under the law. Now, Jesus in Greek and Joshua or Yeshua in Hebrew are the same Hebrew name. They are a combination of the covenant name for God, Yahweh, and the noun help or deliver. Here are some options. Yahweh saves. Salvation is of Yahweh. Yahweh delivers. Yahweh is the deliverer. So we can see why Jesus was named Jesus, right? Because he is Yahweh, he is God, and he saves or delivers us, right? Now, Marion Duckworth, when she was in first grade back at the right after the Great Depression, which was back in the 30s, okay? No one talked about sex back then, okay? Especially sexual abuse, it was a taboo. So when an older man coaxed her away from her paper dolls one afternoon and fondled her, Marion kept it quiet. She didn't tell anybody. It was a dirty little secret. She didn't tell anyone about the incident until she was 21 and she got engaged to her husband, John. And when she told him, he wanted to go kill the guy. But she said, he's an old guy, now don't worry about it. Nowadays, we would put him in jail, okay? She insisted the man was too old to hurt anybody, and that's wrong, but that's back in the day, okay? But even though it happened a long time ago, she didn't have a visual memory of it, but she could feel vividly the man's repulsive touch. And any time she saw a sleazy or lurid image, she would get this bad feeling, okay, of this guy, this abuser touching her, okay? Well, one afternoon, her and her husband John were in a drugstore shopping, and he pointed out a magazine, a sleazy magazine, and he said, they have these out where the kids can see them, okay? And she looked at it, and she got that bad feeling, okay, that flashback feeling. Well, she said, yeah, it's terrible, and then she walked to another aisle. This is what she wrote. She said, while I pretended to contemplate Noxzema, the Holy Spirit spoke shocking words to my mind. You'll never relive these feelings again. You'll never relive these feelings again. The message rang with authority. I don't doubt it was God's voice. I decided I'd know for sure this was a genuine miracle if the feelings never returned. They never did. Not once through the years had I asked God to heal that memory. It hadn't occurred to me that He would do such a thing. I was too ashamed to talk about it to a Christian counselor, much less to a holy God. So I simply tried unsuccessfully to suppress it. But from that day forward, whenever I was exposed to some image of sleaze, I reminded myself with profound gratitude of what didn't happen. There was no flashback. Just sorrow over sin and a prayer for God's intercession in our broken world. So Jesus is our deliverer. And He can deliver us in the present, but He can deliver us from past things also, okay? Because He's eternal, right? It's all present to Him. There's no past, present, it's all present to God, all right? See, Philip Green writes, God can heal your memories too. He can turn your pain into praise. Please trust Him to do it for you as you lay it all out before Him. He won't reject you, no. He'll just remove the shame as He rejoices over you. Here's the good news of Christmas. God is with us. So sing this Christmas, and don't be afraid or ashamed anymore. Amen. So brothers and sisters, Christ is born. Eureka! I can't hear you.
Eureka!
And I didn't even have to turn my hearing aids up, okay? This day the King is here. Jesus is here, okay? To forgive, to heal, restore, and just plain love us, okay? This day, please let Him embrace you and accept Him. Accept Him, accept His healing. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I have a prayer that I wrote that we're going to pray together. And it's written up there. And I'll start it, and we'll pray it together. And think about what we're praying, okay? Lord Jesus, we know You are here. We know You love us and forgive us. We confess we are sinners. Please heal us and forgive us. Embrace us in Your arms, now and forever. We love You. Amen. Eureka! Amen.